Justice is the single most critical element to the welfare of a society and its preservation. Without justice, order collapses and every physical and mental construct falls apart in its wake. Without justice, humanity ceases to exist. What's up, dudes? This is Danny with Terminal CWO, and I'm going to talk about justice, obviously, today. But before we get into that, quick update. I don't think I've done this in like 2 months, and I'm going to be frank with you. I think I've talked about this before, but it's hard. I don't like having guests on, not because I'm people adverse, but it's just because it takes a lot of work to interview people, to set up an interview, and I just don't have the bandwidth. Working a job, doing what I do as far as putting out reports, writing, taking in information from people, you know, a lot of that takes a lot of time. And then when I jump into this is just an add-on that I kind of have to figure out a way to talk and say what I want to say in a specific period of time. And I guess I just get burnt out sometimes. I want to spend time with my family. And this stuff takes a lot of energy. That being said, there's not going to be any kind of script today. I don't have anything in front of me. I don't have notes or order to this. I just want to talk about something that's been on my mind. So if you hear long pauses, I'm not going to try to keep up with the podcast. What do you call it? I'm not going to try to keep up with filling in the gaps, filling in the spaces, editing out the blank space and keeping the listener hooked. So if you hang on, you hang on. And if you don't, you don't. Cool. Anyways, let's jump into this topic. This is, I kind of made a promise to myself after the last podcast. I said, I'm not going to just podcast a podcast. I could get in there and I could talk about the stuff I've been working on. I could talk about the stories I've been doing. That's great. But you could also find that stuff on your own by following any of my you know, platforms on Telegram, Instagram. And it doesn't, I don't feel like I'm making good use of my time. I'll put it that way. But this is a topic that's really amplified in my heart and mind over the last month, specifically with the raid on Trump. But it's been something I've been thinking about for a long time. So justice, what is it? As you can tell from how I started this podcast, I think it's the most critical element of society and civilization there is, period. Justice binds everything. If you stop and you pause and you think about this for a second, we ingest and exude a form of justice on every level in everything we do. Is it just to go to the grocery store and you pay, you know, $5 for a candy bar, but this person only has to pay $3 for a candy bar? No, that's unjust. Those rules are in place for a lot of reasons. Economic demand for one of them. The seller wants to make a certain amount of money, so they have established a certain price, but you are not special over the next consumer. You're going to pay the same price as every other consumer because that is just and that is fair. I could come up with a million examples like this. I think of it like this. So I you know, when I get in an argument with my wife or something like that, I talk about justice and the justice of the argument is, okay, you have complained about this, but maybe I see it like this. And I'm saying, well, you do the same thing. I have this complaint against you. You've been doing this. And you've been doing that same thing. You know, and you get angry at somebody for doing something or not doing something, but you don't feel like justice is being served because you feel, hey, this person's done the same thing. And it's hard to have that conversation because it might break down and you both have to come to the table with an understanding of I guess the rules of what is acceptable, and then that shared understanding of what that specific thing looks like. But let me talk about Trump for a minute. Now, I'm not going to spend the next 10 minutes talking about how I'm not a Trump fan. I think anybody who knows me knows that I'm not, but I'm not for or against the guy. He's just a guy. I think anymore, you know, you've got this idea that you fall into Trump camp or you don't. You're a Trump supporter, you're not a Trump supporter. That's stupid. There doesn't have to be ins or outs, you know, you're on this team or that team. No, I refuse to play. I'm not even playing the sport. I don't care. I think Trump has done a lot of good things, and I have a lot of complaints about who he is in other regards, and whatever. That's not the point of this conversation. So with that said, giving you that disclaimer, I'm not a Trump apologist. But what I will say is what I have seen in the attacks that have been lobbed at him over the course of his presidency. And you got to keep in mind, this dude's been around for a long time. He's been running around in these same circles of these people that are attacking him. They didn't care about him before. They didn't care about any kind of real estate fraud or anything that he's been accused of. They didn't care about this stuff before because he was, I guess, essentially one of them. He was an elite, whatever. We don't care about you. But now that he is opposed to their order, their, I guess, the deep swamp, if you want to call it that, then now they have a bone to pick with him. Anyways, they've been lobbing these attacks against him forever. And what you saw, excuse me, what you saw was this unprecedented attack. Is that fair? This unprecedented thing that they did to him, this raid. This has never happened to a president before. Hopefully you all have dug into the news, because I'm not trying to share all of what happened, but they accused the guy on some level of having, I guess, classified documents at his residence. We've seen the rumors. There have been rumors that he had nuclear information. He had other stuff that was pertinent to January 6th. I don't know. Who knows? I haven't seen the box. And at this point, it's all speculation and conjecture. But there's a lot of information that's been brought forward. You're just going to have to do your reading. There's a lot of information that's been brought forward. And as far as what a president is allowed to and not allowed to do, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see when that box breaks open if he broke any rules and why this warrant was issued. But it looks suspect. And if you look at the injustice of the attacks that have gone against him, I mean, they have weaponized the FBI for years against him. It's a fact. I mean, they were caught red-handed with faulty information and getting warrants based on that faulty information, seemingly information that they laundered through their own organization. It's been crazy. This Russia crap. And the fact of the matter is, you have people on the right and the left now coming out saying, this is bad. This doesn't look right. I mean, let's talk about fairness here. Justice. That's what we're talking about, right? Justice, fairness. We saw Obama walk away with 3 million documents, all kinds of stuff. And he was allowed to. He was able to leave the White House with all these documents, classified, non-classified. He's a president. He can declassify this stuff, but nobody said a word to him. Nobody batted an eye. In fact, a judge ruled back in like 50, 60, 70, something like that. I saw the article the other day. But anyways, there's a ruling that a judge said that, you know, basically the National Archive cannot force a president to give up documents to them, that they don't have that power or that authority. And this has been litigated decades prior to this even happening. But, you know, we have this situation now where people are trying to say, oh, you know, he's guilty of breaking the Espionage Act. And I'm like, but he's not. He has the authority. He has, that's something that the president can do. Just completely of his own volition, he can declassify a document. He can talk about whatever he wants to talk about. You hope he has the mental capacity and the sanity to keep certain things disclosed and not to share national secrets, but you know, he has that authority. And this information that he took from the White House, you're going to have to present it to me. I have to see it. Obviously, I don't know what he took, but I can't think of any situation where he took anything he wasn't allowed to take. Truthfully, He even has the power, he has to let the National Archives know, but he even has the power to destroy documents. He has the authority to destroy official documents. Believe it or not, yes. I learned that the other day. The President of the United States has that power. So I look at this injustice and why people are so upset. And we look at this discussion that's going on, this fight. I mean, our nation is in upheaval with the right and the left burning against each other for these very opposing viewpoints. And the right is pissed. I'm pissed because I see this and I don't fall on a, if I had to say I fell on a point on the political spectrum, I'm conservative for sure. I have traditional conservative values, but I don't necessarily agree with everything that takes place in the Republican Party. And as far as the Republican Party itself, I'm definitely not a fan. And that's why I don't identify. I hate that term. I don't identify with a political party because of this very reason. I don't think that it's right to indemnify a Democrat or a Republican simply for the sake of you're on the opposite team, so I hate you now. That's ridiculous. But as far as the ideology and those viewpoints that I have surrounding those conservative values, I do have some pretty strong stances on certain aspects of that stuff. So when I see this, when I see this injustice, I think about anything in life right now. I think about how we'll prop up somebody because of the color of their skin. Affirmative action, for instance. Affirmative action, you know, this, I guess, maybe a good idea in theory, but it's terrible. I've seen more friends be affected by affirmative action than I have not, because they were passed over for chances for scholarships or different things, because you know, somebody who didn't do as well was considered underprivileged or underclassed because of the color of their skin, and they were given that opportunity over that person. Like, that's not fair. And you know, you have this fight right now about white privilege and how, you know, well, you were given more opportunities. Well, that's absurd. That's not fair. That's not, you know, a person should be judged based on the merit of their actions, period. And there's a lot of injustice. There's a lot of injustice when it comes to the color of someone's skin. I'm not saying there's not. There is. Historically, currently, I see a lot of racism. I see it in my own chat on Telegram. It's ridiculous. I see more hate and vitriol against Jews than I do anybody else. And it's kind of disgusting. I'm not a fan of it, but it's a fact of the matter. People are going to be racist. People are going to subscribe to a certain tribe, but it's the justice. At the end of the day, what is the law providing? We can't change every person's viewpoint or actions or whatever else, but what does the law say? And what does, when this eventually ends up in court, whatever this thing is, anything, name a thing, when it goes before a judge, this arbiter of right and wrong, is he going to weigh on it fairly based on the law? And is justice going to be served? And if not, if we're going to break those rules and we're going to give allowances to one person, but not the other, if we're going to indemnify one party, but not the other, and if we're going to cherry pick things for politics, whatever else, everything starts to collapse. Everything. You look at law and order and justice, and I think some of the most totalitarian regimes or situations practice justice better than most in a lot of situations. Now, let's not overgeneralize that statement. You know, I'm sure you could come up with a million things and a million dictators and just a horrible, horrible situations where obviously justice was not served. But if I look at a situation, let me give you an example. In jail, I was watching, I watched this whole documentary on basically the justice system in jail. And I mean the justice system between inmates. Those dudes don't play around at all. They adhere to a very strict code, a strict code of, you know, not snitching, don't steal from people, don't do this. I mean, but like crazy strict, to the point where if you mess up and you run afoul of some of these these rules, and they are that you don't get a second chance. It's street justice at that point. You're gonna get killed. They're going to kill you and be done with you, and that's it. And they practice that strict justice, but everybody knows the rules. You know the rules. Okay, and I'm not saying bad things don't happen in jail. And I'm not saying injustice doesn't happen in jail. Not the argument here. I'm talking about their when that decision goes before the arbiter, whoever that is, whoever's in charge of this gang or this order system. What I know is that these heads of these gangs, they have to come together and they have to talk about stuff and they have to agree on things. Hey, yeah, okay. So we have the blacks versus the whites, and we got these two, you know, opposing gangs, but at the end of the day, like we've got to make just decisions, or else you have anarchy, you have chaos. If you order, you know, like the mob, for instance, you see this in the mob all the time. These mafia families, the heads of these families, they get together and they discuss stuff. You can't just go around killing made men arbitrarily. You don't get to do that. You know, that guy is from the whatever family. I'm just going to go kill him. No, you can't do that because you'll start a war. And for them to maintain order, some sort of sanity, for them to be able to continue to do what they do, which is commit crime. You know, they do all the stuff that criminal families do, but to maintain that order and that discipline, they have to have a set of rules that are adhered to by everyone. Everyone agrees on these rules. And that's what we have in society now. We have a set of rules that we have agreed to as a society. We have agreed, so I drive down the road. I have agreed that if I'm going to drive this vehicle, that I have to adhere to the speed limit. I rarely do. But point is, I've agreed to that. I've agreed that I will follow the speed limit. If I break that rule and one of the enforcers of justice, a cop, pulls me over and I'm doing 75 and a 60, well, then I have to pay the consequences, all right? He can make the decision and give me grace on the spot and say, you know what, this is a first-time offense. I don't see anything in here. Slow it down, sir. Well, okay, got it. I appreciate it, officer, and you know, going about my merry way. But if he gives me a ticket and I was going 75 and a 60, guess what? I broke the law. It is within his right and it is his duty to penalize me for it. Oddly enough, I got a ticket about a month ago and that was painful. That hurt. It wasn't that fast and it was for speeding, but regardless, I knew I was wrong. And guess what? There wasn't a big to-do between me and the officer. He was very polite, very respectful. He gave me my ticket and, you know, I didn't give a lot of talk, but you know, I sat there and I got what I deserved. I had something coming to me, a form of punishment, and I deserved it because I broke the set of rules that we had agreed on. And this is what we do as a society. We have agreed on all these rules. We say, hey, if we're going to live under your roof, for instance, you live under your parents' roof. Your father has set this set of rules and he says, you can either abide by the rules or I will kick you out. You either do that thing or you don't, but justice must prevail in order to have order. You must do as your father says in order to keep living under that house. Now, if he breaks those rules and he kicks you out for something else, oh, you ate my sandwich, get out of my house. Well, that wasn't an agreed upon rule. What do you mean I ate your sandwich? Does that, I mean, disorder and chaos on a very micro level is going to prevail. But those were, you know, that is how this takes place when order breaks down and justice is not served. This happens on a larger and a larger and a larger scale. We see this happening more and more and more throughout the world, but namely throughout America. We are, you know, the land of the free, the home of the brave. We've established these rules. We have this pretty incredible document, the Constitution, that I personally believe was divinely ordained, and but that's just my own personal opinion. It's such a brilliant document taken from so many wise individuals over the course of thousands of years, and came together in a room where you had very opposing viewpoints. You had very opposing viewpoints in this room from the authors and the architects of this document, and yet they were able to come together and they were able to agree on this very, very well-rounded, very solid document that was to govern and structure our country and our way of life. And so far, we've been able to practice democracy. I'm not saying we are a democracy. For all the people out there, they're like, it's not a democracy. I got it. I didn't say it was a democracy. I'm saying we're practicing democracy. Anyways, we're able to practice democracy. You know, I'm no history buff here, but I'm pretty certain that this experiment in a people leading itself is the longest standing there's been. You know, but we're seeing a lot of things. We're seeing a lot of fractures, and we're seeing a lot of that break down by over time. Eventually, no matter what, you're going to have bad people who try to loophole and shape the system. And we have, so far, we've had a very solid checks and balances in place in our government between the three branches of government that keep each other in check. But we're seeing a lot of that break down. We're seeing calls for the things to happen in the Supreme Court. We're seeing Congress neglect to do their job. They write the laws, right? And then the executive branch is supposed to enforce it. And we're seeing a breakdown between that. And we've seen it for some time, but it's getting worse. It's getting worse. And we're seeing a lack of justice take place. And you know, where it affects me the most is right now, this argument that we're in about in the DOD, this unlawful vaccine. And what's being done is unjust. And this is what kills me. And this is where you see, I personally believe, I could talk about recruiting and all the issues that are going on with that and all the reasons why and the economy and what's happened with all of these events. But at the end of the day, I truly feel that there is an energy, there's an aura of a sense of the injustice that exists within the DOD. There are rules for thee, or I'm sorry, rules for me, but not for thee. And this idea that certain people can get away with certain things based on their rank, whatever. But this one with the vaccine, we have established through, you know, if you're listening for the first time and you just haven't read a thing and you don't know anything about what I'm talking about, I would highly implore you to go through some of the stuff I've written in the videos I've made in the last year. I really break this argument down. But there is so much stuff written by large media organizations now that you can really do your research. You can see what is taking place, and just flat out, the DOD is breaking the law. They've kicked out over 7,000 service members so far. And those service members did nothing wrong. By law, they are allowed to refuse an EUA, which is an emergency use authorized vaccine. They're allowed to. Nobody can mandate that they take this. They broke the law by saying that these two drugs were interchangeable, and they're continuing to break the law by mandating this thing. Okay, they seemingly broke the law by falsely labeling these new vaccines Comirnaty when they were not produced in a BLA approved facility, which, Janine, if you're listening to this and you hear the word BLA approved, don't crucify me. It's just a common term, but either way, we have this system in place that is falling apart because justice is not being served. People are being penalized for doing the right thing. They have that allowance. And yet, what do we see in the comments all around us? Oh, they failed to obey a lawful order. No, they didn't. But people aren't educated. And I put out a meme the other day about, you know, a pig that was slopping around in a bunch of poop. I'm trying to keep this PG. Anyways, you know, I had it, your command, and then the poop was ignorance. And it was, you know, this pig is just rolling around in it. And I'm like, this is what's happening. Of all the documents I've put out and everything else, people are like, well, Pfizer is FDA approved. What a dumb thing to say. Pfizer is the name of a company. How is Pfizer, the name of this company, FDA approved? That's just absurd. Think about what you're saying. They made a drug. They made two drugs. They made BioNTech, which is EUA, and they made Comirnaty. They haven't produced Comirnaty. They haven't. It's still not out there. Still, now, even with the vials that are circulating around, they were not approved in the facility that they were supposed to be approved in Belgium. And yet, let's just go with that argument. Let's say that this was the approved thing. What about all the troops that were kicked out prior to May 20th when this thing landed on the streets? That's right. Comirnaty, the falsely labeled drug now, let's just say it was the real deal. It was the FDA approved version that is legal and lawful and all this stuff. It landed May 20th. So what about all the dudes who were kicked out prior to May 20th? What about them? Was justice served? You know, how many families were impacted by this? I read an article today by some colonel. He was talking about how it's up to veterans now to do their duty again, serve their country and help with recruiting because recruiting is in terrible shape and you need to convince people to serve. I wouldn't convince anybody to serve. I wouldn't convince a bum down the street who I had no idea about to serve. I wouldn't convince anybody to because what's happening right now is there is a rogue and a corrupt and an illegal construct in place within the DOD. And, you know, it breaks my heart because I tell people this all the time. The Army gave me everything in life. I love the Army. It gave me everything. For all the nonsense that we joke about and everything else, I tell you, I've been given so many opportunities because I served in this organization. Yet it breaks my heart to see the lawlessness and the corruption that's taking place. And if we, you know, spread that out across everything that's happening in our nation and in our government and all these instances of injustice, and we break it and we move even, you know, smaller down into the micro, and we talk about our homes and we see those injustices and we see the way people treat us and how you can do a certain thing, somebody else can do something, but you're not allowed to do it. And you're like, why am I getting in trouble right now? You just did the same thing. Well, it's different for me. It's not different. And you feel that rage and that anger because you've been done wrong. What was done to you was not fair. It was unjust. And that therein lies my entire contention that the structure and the stability of mankind, humanity, civilization, society, from the individual human being to the largest component of the global connection we live under now of nations allied with other nations. If order and justice do not exist, then we have nothing because it all falls apart. A man or a woman, but I'm saying man in the general sense, cannot live under the weight and the burden of injustice. It cripples him. It angers him. It turns him into something that he wasn't before. You know, a society that practices justice and meets justice fairly and gives what is deserved to each person based on the actions that they've taken, either they broke the law or they didn't. But a society that exists under a blanket of justice is truly a free and liberated society. A human being. Think of your boss. If your boss treats you justly and fairly, punishes you where it's deserved, rewards you where it's deserved, or anything within that frame of thought, you are able to go to work and you're able to exist in peace, do your job, you're content. That's the best word for it. We are content when justice is served. But when justice is broken, when your boss tramples on you, if he lies and makes up things that you didn't do, if he punishes you unfairly for something you didn't do, what does that do to you? Think about how that burns inside of you. This isn't fair. I'm being maligned. I'm being lied about. I can't live like this. You're angry. You're bitter. And what does that do? When it becomes so burdensome, and we see this playing out in the DOD right now, when it becomes so burdensome, I see folks who don't have that resilience and they have these bad situations where the toxic leadership just runs rampant. it crushes them. And they end up a lot of times, we see this last year with the highest suicide rate we've seen ever in the DOD, close to 800. We see suicide just, it's an epidemic. It's absolutely off the charts. So if you look at that and you relate to that feeling that burns inside when somebody has done you unjustly, and you amplify that on a grander scale, and you see what the DOD is doing to individuals who haven't broken the law. They have not broken the law. A lawful order was given to take an FDA-approved vaccine. One has not been produced. Therefore, no law has been broken when they refuse to take that COVID-19 vaccine. And yet, they were punished unfairly. Can you see what that does? And do you see why that aura and that energy and that rage and the anger spills out into society? Yes, it is felt. It moves. Just because you can't see it or measure it doesn't mean it's not moving. Moving across the forums, moving across the news pages, in everyday conversation with people, it moves. And it angers people. And they say, I don't want to be a part of that. I can't be a part of that. I can't do this thing for this organization or this person, that doesn't live by its own rules and laws and practices injustice. I can't be a part of this. Hey, here's a lot of money if you join up. I don't want your money. There is a conflict inside of you that pulls you apart. You can't be a part of that. Does an 18-year-old kid know everything I know about the military? All of the things that have taken place, all the bad stuff? Of course not. But what he knows is that emotion of injustice. He knows what it's like to be maligned, to be lied about, to be done wrong. Whether it was his home breaking up and a parent doing him dirty, being abused, or a teacher who did something wrong to him, or somebody who lied about him at school and it affected his life, or whatever it is, that injustice. He knows what that feels like from a very early age when your sibling takes something from you and they took it from me, and your parent says, well, they have it now. That's unjust. It's unjust. We know what that feels like on the smallest level. They know what that is. And so when they see that, when they see this stuff pouring out and they see what's taking place in Afghanistan and everything else, and they see what's happening on the national scale, they see this administration, they see the laws that are being broken, they see what's being done on an unprecedented level with a former president, and so many other aspects of what's taking place in our federal government right now, when they see the senators and representatives who are conducting insider trading and have seemingly done no other job in their entire life, yet they're millionaires. Some of them have hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank. We saw Pelosi's husband just buy, thousands of shares of stock in NVIDIA. This was right before they passed the $300 billion bill on microprocessors and chips. We know it took place. Everybody's talking about it. It went out on the left and the right, but both sides captured it up. They were talking about it. They were asking her in interviews, Nancy, have you ever given information to your husband that he's used to buy stocks? Oh, of course not. Everybody knows, but she gets away with it. Oh no, Danny, somebody would have caught her. The investigators, they would have caught her. They have a lot of people that do this. The FBI would have caught her. Stop. The FBI is the most unjust and corrupt organization that's out there. And they are working as a combatant arm of this corrupt administration. People see it. They don't want to be a part of it. People don't want anything to do with the federal government. I talked to a bunch of retirees the other day, and you know what the number one consensus was? Dude, I don't care what I do. I just don't want to work for the federal government. People are spent. People aren't ashamed of their military service. I'm not ashamed by any means. Not a chance. I'm not a bit ashamed. This is my country. I served it. I love my country. I still adhere to the oath I took to the Constitution. But I'll be damned if I work for this federal government. That's not happening. And I'm telling you, people don't want any part of it. So I don't really know where else to go with this. I don't know how to wrap it up. But what I'll tell you is, if you connect to what I'm saying, if you understand what I'm saying, and you feel that on an emotional level, that injustice and that anger about what's taken place, you lost friends, you may have lost your career, you've had whatever done. I can't even speculate about what has happened in your life because everybody is unique, but we are all feeling the pain and the burden of injustice on some level. And right now what's happening in the DOD, what's happening in our branches, what's happening on every level is unjust and corrupt and lawless. And I feel you. You're not alone. I feel you. I would say this. As cliche and corny as it sounds, I'd say persevere. Because the first thing you do when trying to fix something is identify what the problem is. First thing you do when you're putting together an op board and you're putting together, you know, doing mission analysis and MDMP and all that stuff is you identify the problem. What are we trying to fix? What exactly is the problem? Identify the problem first, and that's what we're doing now. We've identified the problem. There is a lack of justice. And then we get busy trying to fix it because it can't continue to exist, this government that operates on injustice. It can't continue to exist or everything we have will crumble and fall to pieces. So resonate on this and reflect. I'll probably talk about this some more in the forums, in the chat. But if you need to reach out to me and you want to talk about some of this stuff, you have your own thoughts on it, you know where to reach me. Okay, Instagram's a bad place to reach me. Reach out on Telegram. Reach out on Terminal X, my own app. Chat with me there. I will always see those chats. Find me at Chief on Terminal X. All right. Reach out, talk to me. Don't think you're alone because you're not. You are far from alone. There are plenty of people, many of us, who feel and understand what you're going through. All right, dudes. Be good this week, this month, whenever I talk to you next time.